You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, I'm excited tonight, and I meant to have Tracy play a song for us before Leland came up, and I'm sorry I forgot. So I'm going to go ahead and do the one that Dolores and me and Tracy were going to do, and then I'm going to let him play for you because I want to sit out there and watch him. Tracy and I know y'all change every few weeks, so you don't know who this guy is, but he and I grew up together in Borger, Texas, and he's a little bit older than me. I know he doesn't look it, but he's a little bit older than me, but I kind of taught him how to play the guitar. I helped. I showed him a few chords stuff when we were about 11 or 12 years old, and then he made it an art. I know he doesn't look like it. Tracy is one of the guys I call a guitar artist. He plays with just his fingers, and you're going to hear what he can do. I just hit it and beat it and do everything and have a great time with it, but this man sits hours and hours and hours and works to play, and it'll be a blessing to you. But Dolores and I are going to do a good old song for you first. I couldn't find all the words to it. A while back we had to do it at a service, and I just kind of made up the words I thought went good with it. So these are the songs we do, the words we do with. There are loved ones up in glory, and their love you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. One by one their lives were ended, one by one they went away. Now with Jesus up in glory, they enjoy their holy birth. Will the story be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Question to the living, are we ready to meet our King? Have we trusted in the Savior? Can we join them when they sing? Y'all sing it with me, you know it. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. One more time. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Up in the sky, Lord, in the sky. circle be unbroken. Tracy, play us a song, brother.
I'm going to have to take my glasses off, Kirk. I can't see.
They don't care.
Room's got good music.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And if you don't have a Bible, then you can't turn there, can you? Notice how quick I am. You'd like to have one, would you lift your hand? We'll get you one. And let me say this about these Bibles. If you do not have a Bible, then we'd like to give you one. Let that be our gift to you. Now, if you've got one and just don't have one tonight, then when you leave, if you would, instead of leaving it in the chair, would you put it on the table at the back of the room here and where we kind of keep them together instead of having to run all over the auditorium and get them. So, Matthew chapter 14, easy book to find, first book in the New Testament. We're going to talk about something that's very familiar tonight. Everybody has heard about this. It's not one thing new. We just want to talk about Peter walking on the water. And I want to try to take that and talk about some of the things that apply maybe in our life. I did this one time. One of the guys that was in the first Bible class I ever did in the Big Spring Federal Prison, was the largest drug bust in the history of Seattle, Washington. And they took him down with between $20 and $40 million worth of powder cocaine. The difference in the two figures were whether you read the morning Seattle paper or the evening Seattle paper. But they sent him down here in Texas to get him away from all of his Northwest connections. And he became a Christian at Siegelville, which is right out of Dallas, federal prison right out of Dallas. Then they sent him to Big Spring, and he was just very hungry to learn the Bible. He knew nothing about the Bible, didn't have any background in the Bible. And he showed up at the very first class, and during the time he was there, we became very good friends. We still are. We still talk to one another on the phone. But Terry ended up starting a criminal justice ministry in Seattle. Terry's life changed so much that even one of the parole officers asked him to counsel with his daughter who was getting on drugs. And Terry just did a fantastic job in a lot of areas and started going into the prisons. And anyway, he did a prison conference. And I guess just because he wanted to repay, I don't want to do it. Anyway, he invited me to come and speak at it. I was one of the speakers. I guess he thought if he and I both spoke, it'd make him look real good. And he introduced me. Like he said, Leland said, please don't preach that Texas Longhorn message. And for the life of me, I didn't know what he's talking about. I said, what? He said, please don't preach that Texas Longhorn message. And here I am in Washington, and I said, what are you talking about? He said, you know the one that's got 2 points far removed from one another and got a lot of bull in the middle. And I was speaking on walking on water, a little different from what I was going to do tonight, but when I started working on this, I thought what Terry did to me. And, Christ walking on water. So I want you to turn to Matthew. We're going to start in verse 22. Christ has just finished feeding the 5,000 men along with women and children. And at verse 22, it said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples, get into a ship and go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He told him, you go to the other side. He gave them a destination to go to. And I know that since he knew all things, he knew that in that trip, we're going to see that they had a storm, and I don't think it surprised him at all. But it's a long trip because it's wee morning hours that it has this. But anyhow, he sent them away. Verse 23 said, when he sent the multitude away, went up in the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. He went to spend some time with the Father. He withdrew to pray. Christ did that a lot. We have people that spend a lot of time wanting to pray in front of everybody else. That's what the Pharisees did. He told them, said, get in your closet to pray. Quit showing off your religion and all of that. But Christ went over there. And then it said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. He's praying. They're sweating. They're out in the middle of the sea. And they're in the middle. They're as far from one side to the other. And they've got a problem. Then it said, in the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's the final watch of the night. It started at 6 to 9. That's first watch. Second watch, 9 to 12, and then 12 to 3. And so when I said they're in the wee hours of the morning, they really are. And he said they were tossed with the waves and the winds contrary. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And you will have to admit this would be an odd sight. The waves are rolling. I don't know if you've ever been out in that big water where it's rolling and the waves are high and the boats are just giving it this all the time. And it's... It's an unusual sight. And so he said, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out with fear. Now, they're already afraid of the storm. And then they look up. And they see Jesus, but they're saying in their mind, it can't be, and you can't walk on water. Now, really, this ought not to bother anybody, because Christ had, God had done it another way one time. He let Moses walk across the sea on dry land. So you can figure if he could split the Red Sea and let people walk across on dry land, that then he could let you just let the sea be there and you could walk across on the water. And so they see him walking on the water, cry out with fear, but straightway Jesus said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Notice his first words. Be of good cheer. In fact, he tells them three things. It's I, be not afraid. He said, be happy. I'm here. Don't be afraid. You know, the first words that Jesus said to the disciples after the resurrection, and they'd all scattered. Their whole future was down the drain. Here they'd put their faith and trust in the man they thought was going to be the king of Israel. And then the Romans kill him on the cross. And they just cannot see anything in that that's going to be worthwhile. And then they hear that he's arose, and they're hiding up in a room. They're not going to believe that. And Jesus just walks through the wall. And the first thing he says to them is, peace be unto you. Think about that. Everybody had deserted him, left him to die. And instead of him saying, shame on you, he said, peace be unto you. Every time Jesus comes, there's peace. Every time Jesus comes into a life, there's good cheer. He said, be happy, I'm here, don't be afraid. And Peter, and most of us have got a temperament like Peter. Paul was very educated. Peter was just an old fisherman. Paul was smooth. Peter talked when he ought to be listening. He said stuff. He tried stuff. He reacted. He didn't respond to anything. It was just knee-jerk reaction. They come up, was going to arrest Jesus, and somebody had made the mistake of giving Peter a sword. Well, fishermen are not too good with swords. And Peter cut the guy's ear off, of all things. And we do a lot of that. I mean, we want people to hear us, but then we cut their ear off. It's kind of hard to do that. Jesus said, Peter, put up the sword. He reached down, put the guy's ear back on. Peter looks up. He's in the boat. And he answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou. Now, there's a little doubt in his mind, but if this is really you, he said, bid me come unto thee on the water. He didn't say, come get in the boat. He said, if it's really you, bid me to come to you. Give me an invitation to come out here to you. And he said, Jesus said, come. Come on now. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What a sight. Peter walked on the water. And by the way, before you put him down too much for not walking very far, he still holds the water walking record of all time. He's still the champion of walking on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, verse 30, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying to the Lord, save me. When he got his eyes off Jesus and onto the storm, he starts sinking. And there's a lesson for us here. We do the same thing. As long as we're focused on him, we can do some things. But what we do, we keep seeing the circumstances. I heard a guy say one time, everybody talks about under the circumstances. He said, why don't somebody get on top of them? Let's get above the circumstances. And he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. That means he and Peter walked back to the boat when they were coming to the ship. Now, three things I want to just point out to you real quickly, that if you want to have some experiences like this with Jesus, if you want to have a walking on the water experience, three things you have to do, three things I have to do. Number one, you're going to have to get out of the boat. Can't walk on the water in the boat. What I mean by that, that means you can't stay with the people in the boat. The reason some of you have such a hard time is you won't get rid of the people in the boat around you. And all you do is just keep recycling instead of walking on the water. You just keep going back to the same old place, the same old people, end up the same old way. Going to have to get out of the boat. It's just logical. It makes sense. You've got to get out of the boat. You've got to get away from that which is causing you to sink. Why don't you stop and think a little bit? See, I don't know why it is we think we are so smart. I shared this with somebody this week, but I think the last year of my life in Houston, Texas, I could have stopped anybody on the street of Houston and said, would you make my major decisions in my life this year? And that stranger would have done a better job than I was doing. Because let me tell you, I was making them, but let me also say this to you. You think I'd ever done that? No, because I'm smart. I'm cool, man. You can't tell me what to do. And everybody in this room has found out that there's somebody can tell you what to do. Don't tell me you can't do that. I've had folks say, nobody tells me what to do. I said, then what are you doing in here in white? That's your favorite color? See? What do you mean nobody can tell you what to do? Everybody's got somebody telling them what to do. If you're the richest, Bill Gates has got people that tell him what to do. Every boss has got people telling him what to do. He's got customers. If you don't do it, you go broke. We won't bow to anybody's authority. We keep staying in the boat and then whine about, well, why didn't I get to walk on the water? Well, get your exterior, posterior up and get out of the boat. Second thing. When you get out of the boat, you need to go to Jesus. Now, some of you went a lot of different directions. I have. Went the wrong way. Did it the wrong way. Most of you are too young for this, but some of you are not because you got some gray hair. But Frank Sinatra, who they used to swoon over before Elvis, Frank Sinatra sang a song called I Did It My Way. I used to tell everybody that's my theme song. And let me tell you what, I did it my way. And it came out more messed up than Hogan's goat. My way took me right down the tube. The Bible says this. You want a good definition of sin? Let me give you a perfect definition of sin. It's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Verse 6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. He didn't say all we like sheep have jumped on the shepherd, whipped him, beat him up real bad, tore down the fence, and hooked him. It's not what it said. All we like sheep, we just gone astray. It's my life. Do what I want to with it. Not realizing, you know what, that everybody in here is just one heartbeat away from death. And every day you pick up a paper to see that somebody ended theirs within the last 24 hours. Sometime it's old people dying, but sometime it's young people getting killed. It all ends the same way. See, the statistics are still the same. They still one death for every birth. Maybe you get to live a long time, maybe you don't, but I'm going to tell you this, that it will do no good unless you're going to heaven. Hey, if you're going to Jesus, a friend of mine said one time, ask him if he wanted to go. They were going on a trip to Israel, and they said, don't you want to go where Jesus was? He said, no, I want to go where Jesus is. That figures, doesn't it? But see, you must go to Jesus. Get out of the boat. Not just wanting to get out of hell, but wanting to go to Jesus. See, until our thinking is changed, our mind is changed, we wouldn't enjoy heaven anyway. Because they just sing and preach. Well, we'll go up there, they're praying and talking. Because see, prayer is just talking to the Lord. Up there you can talk to Him face to face. Said, hey, how about? Wouldn't like it anyhow. You need to want to walk with Him, not hide from Him. And the third thing, focus on Him and not the circumstances. Peter began to sink when he saw that the sea was boisterous. He saw the waves piling high. He felt the wind roaring. The sea is turning over. And instead of looking to Jesus that he was looking at when he started walking, he said, oh, the circumstances. There are people in this room that have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, and you went about three steps. I didn't know it's going to be a storm. Well, they always is. That's probably why you went to Christ in the first place. Hey. Isn't it amazing that in Hector County or any other county that people are wanting a Bible? Because I got trouble. See, when you got trouble, guess who you turn to? Hey. And let me tell you about friends. It's everybody that put money on your books. Hey. You have to want to focus on Him. See, trust in Jesus. Let me tell you something. Just walking to Him, walking with Him doesn't mean the storm's going to stop. Trust in Christ doesn't mean that it's going to cause the blue warrant to stop in midair. It doesn't mean that the judge will say, oh man, now that you're a Christian, walk on home. It doesn't mean that the cancer's going to swivel up and die. It doesn't mean that you won't have any problems. What it does mean, you got somebody to walk with you. Hey, you got somebody that can say, hey, I'm here. The psalmist said, I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord is with me. I will not fear what man's going to do. God is going to take me home. Christ will take me to heaven. See, we don't just go a little ways and say, oops, I can't do that. Because we don't, some of us try to keep one foot in the boat and one foot to walk toward Jesus. And that won't work. And it won't work if we get out there and say, oh man, I didn't realize I was going to have some problems. I thought when I become a Christian that I'd win a lottery. No. When you become a Christian, you may not even have enough money to buy a ticket. I don't know. But I tell you this, you get to go to heaven. One thing I can guarantee you, if you trust Jesus Christ, He'll take you to heaven. You'll never be killed. You just be transferred. See? That's what God can do for us. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. We're a small crowd in here tonight. But with every head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. You say, Leland, I've thought about what you've been talking about. I need to step out. I should have stepped out before. I know just enough that I know that Jesus wants me to come to Him. And I want you to pray for me that I would leave here tonight knowing that I was on my way to heaven, that I wouldn't have to worry and I wouldn't have to fret and I wouldn't have to have fear. Jesus said, be not afraid, be of good cheer. You could do that. Would you say, Leland, pray for me? Just slip your hand up. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. You can put them back down. Now, just lift them up. Anybody else? Just lift them up, put them back down. Now listen to me very carefully. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, those are not my words. That's what God says. He said, for with the heart, man believes on righteousness. The heart. God sees the heart. I can't see the heart. The friend sitting beside you can't see the heart. Mama can't see your heart. Daddy can't see your heart. Nobody can see your heart, but God sees your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And confession is made unto salvation. And then he said it so simply. Three verses later, he just wrapped it up to where nobody could miss it. You don't need a GED. We just came. He said, for whosoever, that means anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's something anybody can do. Shall be saved. That's anytime, anywhere. So tonight, here's what I'm asking you. We're going to stand just in a moment after I pray. And I'm going to ask you to come down here and say, I want to walk with Jesus. I want to trust Him as my Savior. Our precious Heavenly Father, you know the hearts tonight. I've seen the hands. You've seen the hearts. And we pray that on the very first verse, that your Holy Spirit might burden and draw and pull to you, that they would come, just like Peter did, said, bid me come to you. We know this. You said, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You've invited us to come. So, Father, I pray now that they would. We ask these things in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, as Charles starts the very first verse, would you come and say, I trust Christ tonight. I'm coming to Jesus. I want to walk with Him. Would you come? Come right on. Come right on, sir. You guys come on. We'll have somebody, maybe somebody have to talk, two or three of you, get around there in a circle. We got some guys who can help you. You done what God wants you to do. Are you walking with Him? You got to walk to Him before you can walk with Him. If you need to come, come on right now. Come on.
Without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Heads still bowed, eyes still closed. We're going to be dismissed. There's still some praying, still some counseling. So we'd appreciate it if you just slip on out to the next room after we pray. Thank you for being here. God bless you. If you've been saved and got some information about that, pick up on the table out there. What have I done? What do I do now? They're free. They're handouts where you can sit down with your Bible and go over it. And at your pace, by yourself, in your own time. Anything else that we've got out there, one of our newsletters, anything you'd like to have, we don't sell anything. It's all free. God bless you, our Father. Thank you for those that came tonight. Thank you that they came quickly. We pray now that you'd be with them. Because we know the storm won't cease, but we know this, and walk with you. Be with them. Thank you for them. For others that should have come, I pray this, Lord. Give them another opportunity. Father, give them another chance. But have your own way. Glorify your Son. Thank you for those that are here. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.